ਚਾਹੀ ਦਾ ਵੇਮਾ ਬੋ
N6CLX mobile monitoring.
Yes, this is K8HAN mobile. How are you today?
Call though.
EGN, I think you said. Can you come back with it, please?
Name here's Mike. I missed the call. N6CLX.
Okay, I got you. It's K8HAN, Kilo 8 Hotel Alpha November.
8HAN.
K-H-N.
Gee whiz.
K-8-H-A-N. Yeah, I do that too. I'm pretty new at this. Trying to remember somebody's call sign is a tough thing for me.
I don't know. I guess I'm getting old. I've just had a rough day. I don't know if this is weather or maybe I need to get more sleep. I don't know what it was, but today I was dragging.
We'll just describe it as a Monday thing, a Monday blues, I think. And the weather is much improved over when I drove in, so at least we got that.
K8HAN N6CLX. Just call you Han.
Yeah, and the name's Brian. I'm in Greenville. Where are you?
Head to Greenville, well, Greenville County, home, work in Spartanburg.
Check in on the way home every day, and sometimes I get an answer and sometimes I don't. I had just turned my radio on, and I was just about to see if anybody would answer this time.
Here. Sometimes I turn it down, sometimes I don't turn it on. I've been keeping it on for the most part. Sometimes I just get some radio, commercial radio listening in. No one's around.
Little community out there, though, people who, you know, when they want to talk, they're there for you.
It makes the 24-minute commute home go a little quicker.
How long you been a ham?
My first ticket in 1979. I went down to the FCC offices in San Francisco and took my written and my code and came in as a technician.
So you must have, you got different radios and doing different modes and all that kind of stuff. I've been doing just VHF, but this for Peter is pretty much the extent of my experience in my 1 month or so that I've been doing this.
Congratulations. Glad to have you around. Yeah, my very first radio, because I came in as a tech, I had a electronics teacher in high school that got me into it. And he warned me, coming in as a tech, don't get called to the dark side on the VHF. You're going to lose the code and blah, 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 you know, oh, whatever. Well, I still have my first radio. And it works, but I can't talk anywhere too much. I could talk on this repeater because I don't think there's a PL tone here. But it's an ICOM IC2AT, got brand new. I think parents bought it for me at the Ham Radio Outlet in Burlingame, California, just down the hill from where we live. I think that was either the original location of Ham Radio Outlet or the second location.
I've been wondering what I should do. I want to get into HF, try to, you know, talk around the world and all that kind of stuff, but I don't know if I want to do, you know, just buy a radio for $600 or $800 or whatever they cost, start talking, or if I want to try to build my own and do it the harder way. I think that might be a little bit more rewarding. What have you done?
Well, I was homebrewing my own receiver transmitter. I got the transmitter done. Well, okay, 90% done. It's just a two-tube crystal CW HF transmitter. The receiver was the harder one. I got it mostly done. You know, this is all dating back to when I was in high school in the 70s, so I'll get it finished one of these days. It's sitting in the garage on the radio bench, basically staring at me, giving me the face. But I got into HF back in the 90s. I have my Kenwood TS-450 and acquired a few Swans and a Yaesu FT. FT blah blah blah. I can't remember. 901.
But looking into this, it looks like with every HF band, you need a new antenna, is the thing. So I'm picturing my yard with like six antennas in it, but that can't be what people do. There must be a couple of bands of choice that people use to talk on. I can't really figure out which ones those are.
I'm going there for a little bit. Well, HF is just that way. The easiest route to go is to get a multi-band antenna. But I was making all my own antennas for a while, but I finally broke down and just bought one. And I got a Moss Center fed dipole 80 through 6 meters, and works really nice.
Maybe that's the way I'll go. I just don't know yet. I know that if I went out and spent a whole bunch of money on radio equipment right now, it would not sit well on the home front. I do know that much.
Hey, Freddy. Yeah, I understand that 100%. And man, now, money, heck, when I start working on the old rigs that I'm working on, you know, I'll spend a couple minutes. The next thing I know, I'm being asked, what are you doing?
I still got two kids at home. One of them's about to graduate high school and go off to college, and then one more for four more years after that. And I guess they need attention, or they might turn out like me.
I get to sneak in a few minutes here and there. I'm an oldie, so I like the solid state. I like the newer microprocessor controlled stuff, but I also like my tube stuff. I'm trying to finish rebuilding the Swan 250 6-meter rig that I bought on eBay. But, the radio's almost as old as I am, and man, about every critical resistor there could be was out of tolerance. Every cap, of course, had to be changed. Every tube realigned. And I'm just fighting it.
For a love. It sounds like you might have five or six projects on that workbench, huh? You probably ought to go out tonight and just throw three away and start fresh.
It's like reading six books, man. You read a chapter here and then you skip to another one. Same on the radio.
Be like that. It is exciting, just to learn about new things. The Sam Radio thing came to me because I wanted to get off social media. That's just stupid, and this is a lot more fun.
Radio, if you call a guy a name, he might find you.
Well, much better behaved, I guess. The big CB guy, he had a handle and talked to a bunch of people with handles and drove trucks and all kinds of stuff like that. That's kind of fun, but this is more discipline. This is more my style.
Kind of like everybody, for the most part, everybody on ham bands are just, friendly. You get the lids once in a while.
Technical nature, you have to take the test, you have to pass the test, and in order to do that, you have to have a little aptitude, and understand things, in a way that is common with the other people that have to take the same test.
Bay Area in the 70s, 79 and 80, we were having problems out there with people jamming and jamming repeaters, won't let people talk, jamming your signal. It was bad. I mean, that's back in the day when the FCC actually would tour around and lower hefty fines for it.
That'd be frustrating. Yeah, you keep saying you're from California. I am also from California, but the other end of the state, Oxnard, is where I grew up, just north of Los Angeles.
Yeah, I think it's Oxnard and Van Nuys out there, isn't it?
Yeah, real close. In fact, my brother drove for years from Oxnard to Van Nuys for work. I think it was about a 45-minute, 50-minute drive, something like that, not too far away, but it's pretty easy to get anywhere out there.
Cock in L.A., 45-minute drive, it could be within sight.
You kind of learned the tricks of when to go and when not to go during traffic. What brought you out here to South Carolina?
I just worked my way east. If I go any more east, I'll either have to learn a new language or learn to swim. I went to school in Colorado and eventually made it down to Phoenix for a few years. The job transferred me from Phoenix out to New Orleans, and a job transfer up here. And of course, every job that ever transferred me, and that's just on the resume now.
I guess it's not, you could have ended up in a worse place. This place is, I've loved South Carolina. We've been in Greenville now 20 years, I just kind of happened upon a place that I learned to love. I like the people here, I like the scenery, I like the weather, I like the politics, I just like it all.
I met the wife down in New Orleans, and then we transferred up here, took a job up here after Katrina. Didn't wipe us out, but it wiped out a good amount of the family, homes and whatnot. We just said, hey, we don't feel like dealing with this. Then the kids graduated school and moved back, so we're up here all alone.
Such a bad place to be. What part of Greenville are you in?
Greenville County side of Greer. We're down, live off of Pelham and Batesville.
Okay, I'm on the other side of town. We're in Gower, over at Lawrence Road, the car lot area down in there in Gower subdivision.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, we bought the house in 07. Enjoy it. We really see no reason to move.
Free from flooding like you had in New Orleans, that's for sure.
We are, but my wife was freaking out for the first year. She kept telling me that we need to get flood insurance because we're backed up to the Henry. But the Henry would have to come up, I don't know, 30 feet to get anywhere near the house. And I mean vertical 30 feet. That means there's nothing left in Greenville.
Goes through my property, and just as we were closing on the house, we discovered we needed flood insurance. The owners that had it before us had had the house for years, and you know they paid off their mortgage, and they'd never had to carry flood insurance at any time. And then they resurveyed the whole area, and because we have this creek, they decided it could dam up and flood and enter the house. And I've been fighting, or had been fighting, the city of Greenville and the federal FEMA people about that I fought them for several years, and I still have to have flood insurance, but now it's around $100 a year and much more affordable than the $2,000 or whatever we had to pay when we first moved in.
Ready. Wow. Yeah, I didn't want to have to pay the flood insurance. That's just a whole another ball game. And then if you use it, you'll find out how little it pays. But, we're above the 100-year floodplain, so luckily they've been nice to us at least for the last 15 years.
That creek, I think my neighbors would be building an ark before this thing ever came up to the house. It would take an awful lot of flooding, and the engineers at the city didn't see it that way, at least for 4 or 5 years, but they see it that way now.
This side of town is perfect for working in Spartanburg. Commute couldn't be easier. It's interstate both ways.
Anything out there on that side of town that anybody else has anywhere else? I mean, the Pelham Road area is just like the Woodruff Road area, except maybe a little less crowded, which is a plus.
Woodruff, and I wonder why.
Probably several days on end where you're on Woodruff and never get off it.
Good mood, because there's been several times my wife has just slapped me on the back of the head saying, why did I come with you if you're going to go down this thing?
That little bypass thing they built over off of Verde, you know, where that goes behind all that critical stuff on one side of the road there, that helps a lot. I take that whenever I can, and that was a really good idea. I'm glad they did that.
I'm going over towards Lawrence. I just, you know, it's not often I have to go to Lawrence unless I'm going over there to get the car worked on.
It just kind of shows they're thinking about the mess they have over there. That's all happened since we moved here. I mean, you could fairly easily move up and down Woodruff Road for most, you know, the first 10 years or so, but they just started cramming more and more and more in there. It got ridiculous.
There it is again, N6CLX, Friday. Yeah, we're still in the habit of going to Woodruff. We'll go to Woodruff and people ask us, why don't you go to Wade Hampton? It's just that much further. So we just go to Woodruff.
A lot of company when you're on Woodruff. Well, I'm home in the driveway here. It's good talking to you. I got to sign off. I'll go ahead and let you have the last one here. But this is K-H-A-N, and I'll be out when you're done.
H-A-N. That's a tongue twister for some reason. N6CLX. I'll talk to you later. Good talking to you. I'll be here most every day.